Good morning. So I'm picking up where Bill left off, hopefully, if I've understood his sermon properly. So a couple of weeks ago, with a gap for Nathan, Bill spoke about serving and why we have to do it, what our mandate is from God to serve other people. So at first, I thought, what on earth am I going to speak about? Because Bill did such a good job, I thought, 2 minutes just to reiterate it and I could sit down again. So I was a bit worried that I'd end up repeating a sermon I did a few months ago on James and how we're told to serve women, widows and orphans and all the rest of it. But Lent started a couple of weeks ago and we started getting the 40 Act emails coming through, which we spoke about at home group the other night and all had a bit of a giggle. But it got me thinking because it gave us various ideas on how we could serve during Lent, such as changing toilet rolls, opening doors. And it sort of got me wondering, why is it suggesting such basic things that I would have thought are pretty good, normal things to do for each other, for other people, and acts of kindness? And I think it sort of got me thinking, one, who do we serve? And secondly, when do we do it? So I think the first answer, which is the really obvious one, a bit like the joke about the squirrel, is that we serve God. And as Joshua says in 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But what does he mean when he says that? Because unlike, what do we see when we hear the word serve? Is it that we go out and do things for other people? Well, God doesn't need us to do that. He is, if you go on to the next verse, he is perfectly capable of providing everything that he needs himself. So as the writer of Acts says, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind life and breath and everything. So that's Acts 17:25. Again, he sent Jesus not as the Messiah with a flaming sword, much as a lot of the Jews wanted at the time, to sort of reign on high, but as a servant. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So God doesn't need us there doing things for him. So how do we serve God? How do we put our faith into action in serving God like Joshua tells us him and his household are going to do? So if you look up at the screen now, I've got a few pictures. And I want you to think about whether this is serving the Lord. So we've got a couple of different types of worship up there. This next one, if we go on, we've got Forest Gate events and my bald head. I didn't spot that when I first copied it. Next one, so slightly spectacular barn raising by the Amish, which I think is just incredible when you see them doing it. Next, some proper servants from Downton Abbey, and then finally, we've got a building site, we've got a teacher, doctor's surgery, office. Are they serving? Are they serving God and serving others? Now, I would suggest that they should be. In all those different situations that have been up there, we should be serving God. And it's not that service is exclusive to voluntary events like Macmillan Coffee Mornings or what we've got coming up, the Sport Relief. It's not exclusive to sort of vocational occupations like teaching or doctors. Or nursing, because it does include boring jobs like I have managing change for a company. I'll tell you what that means later. Well, I hope to. I'm not sure I know yet either. So most of us in this room probably spend more time outside of church and church events than we do in church and doing things for church. Probably, yeah. I'm seeing lots of nodding, so that's good. I was onto something there. So that is where we meet most of the people that we come into contact with. And it's how we work in those places that shows God, and it's that that shows our service to God. It's that that is service to other people. So, you know, do we show care and consideration to our colleagues? You know, the big story at the moment in British politics is about Priti Patel and whether she's bullying people in the civil service or not. And I don't want to go into the details of that. But for us, it should be about how we react with our colleagues, whether that is our seniors or our subordinates. It's whether we work conscientiously for our employers. You know, do we do our job properly? You know, it's whether we do right by the people that we're working for. You know, do we try and get a bigger sale out of them even though they don't need it, because that's how we'll hit our targets? You know, is it how we interact with our patients politely, conscientiously? Do we do right by our pupils if we teach? You know, I'm not serving God if in my everyday life I am taking advantage of people, pushing past colleagues with sharp elbows to get that promotion, you know, whether I deserve it more in my opinion or not. We have an opportunity, and I would say a bigger opportunity, to show God Monday to Friday or Saturday than we probably do coming here on a Sunday. You know, that is where we can do the most as a service to God and to other people. You know, in fact, reading many of the emails that came through from the 40 Acts of Service, it really did get me thinking, and especially after Thursday night, where we all had a very good giggle about some of the suggestions. You know, perhaps, actually, the criticism is not of 40 Acts, but actually of society, that they have to suggest that holding doors open for people is an act of service that we should take up for Lent. You know, here, you know, that should be second nature to all of us. You know, good manners. And it got me thinking back. I was, as many of you know, I went to a Benedictine boarding school, and it got me thinking about the rule of St. Benedict. And the vows that are taken by the novices when they become monks are, and forgive my Latin pronunciation, I haven't done it since I was 13. So, stabilitate sua et conversatione morum surum et obedienta, or something like that. And that basically translates as stability, conversion of manners, and obedience. It's the middle one, which I think really helps with how we serve, and that's conversion of manners. You know, as I said earlier, it's, you know, how we go about our lives is how we show our service to God. If you want to go on to the next slide. It's how I how we go about it that shows our service to God. And it's that conversion of manners is a change in how we consider each other and our reaction to other people and how we can serve them. It used to be fairly normal practice to hold doors open for people, to offer your seat to a lady on a bus or somebody elderly. But that has changed. I occasionally go up to London for work, and on the tube it's all, you know, elbows out, you know, lead with the bag so that you can get through the crowds. And it does make it feel very unfriendly. But I think if we have that conversion of manners in how we react to people, then what we do is we show God's love by letting someone go first, even if it means we miss our train. You know, if we offer that seat to someone so that they can sit down, it shows that. They may not necessarily know why we're doing it, but it does show God's love. And just quickly go back to the verse on the screen, because I think it still applies at this point. So whoever serves, let it be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So it's that, you know, by putting Jesus into everything that we do, then we glorify God. So yes, it's by putting other people first that we're serving God, because He doesn't need us to do anything specific for him. He needs us to do things for other people so that they see God through us. And I thought the other thing that came to mind was the sort of slightly flip side of serving and how it is equally as important. So in John 13:7-9, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, Peter's first reaction is, "Not on your life, you're not washing my feet. I haven't done it for a while and I stink." He refuses because he thinks that Jesus is above that. Jesus is better than washing his feet. He does very quickly relent, or at least that's how it reads, but it may have been a bit longer argument, perhaps. But I think we can be a bit like that sometimes. We don't want to be served. We think perhaps that it's our duty to serve everybody else and nobody can serve us. We have to be, you know, we have to be martyrs in it. And I think actually that does quite a disservice. As Peter refusing to let Jesus wash his feet does a huge disservice to Jesus. And he actually comes back and says, "If you don't let me wash your feet, there's no chance for you. You're not getting into heaven. You know, you're not with me." And I think, and my understanding of that is, that's an example to us as well from Peter's perspective, that we need to sometimes be humble enough to let other people serve us. And that, again, is as much a service to God as it is to other people. You know, sometimes we'll, you know, refuse to accept the help that's offered, the service that's offered. Or we'll accept it really reluctantly. "Oh, well, if you must help, fine, you can." And that doesn't, in the same way that not putting ourselves second to other people doesn't show God's love, in the same way, refusing to accept help when it's offered doesn't show God's love. At the moment, obviously Matt mentioned it at the beginning, we're looking at building an extension. That's going to involve an awful lot of service to the church from other people, because Malcolm, with the best will in the world, you're not building it on your own. Yeah. We're going to have people coming in, building walls, putting roofs up, all the rest of it that we are not, in the main, qualified to do ourselves. And it's not just, but we have a duty to serve them and show God's love and our serving heart. And that's not just by making them the odd cup of tea or bringing them a packet of digestives, you know, while they're hard at it. It's about paying them a fair price for the work that they do. It's about paying on time. It's about working with them and being generous and kind in how we accept their service. And by doing that, we are serving God as much as if we were doing the work ourselves. You know, like the Amish building their barns. You know, that's beyond me. If you want to skip on a bit. So, I said it was going to be 3 hours. It's slightly shorter, actually. Sorry, can you go back again? Sorry. Just to conclude, I'm going to come back to Joshua and do a bit of a Steve on this. If I find the Bible verse. So Steve always likes to, when there's a therefore or a but at the beginning, is to look back over what was said before. So as I just find Joshua. So what is Joshua saying but to? Well, he's just sort of taken over from as leading the Israelites, and they've come through the desert and they're all a bit, you know, grumpy. They've made a few mistakes, or lots. And he's sort of had a bit of a go at them. If I just bring that up. Sorry, my Bible is being slow. That's the problem with these electronic ones. Yeah, so he's been exhorting them. If it doesn't come up, I'll just paraphrase. He's been exhorting them, you know, about how much God has done for them. You know, he is reminding them of all the amazing things, despite their mess-ups, God has got them out of Egypt. He's got them across the desert. Okay, made them wander around it for 40 years, but he's got them across the desert, and he's got them pretty much to the promised land at this point. And Joshua is saying, look at all the amazing things God did to it for us, despite the fact that you built golden calves, despite the fact that you worshipped all these different gods while we were on the journey. It was God that got us here. And as for that, because of that, me and my household are going to worship God and serve the Lord. And it's this fact that God can't be served in probably the way that we normally think of serving as. You know, we can't make him a cup of tea. We can't serve him dinner. He doesn't need that. He needs us to serve each other. And it is by that service to each other that we glorify him. You know, whether that's volunteering to make tea and coffee, thank you, Lynn, on a Sunday morning, whether it's setting up the tangle of wires here that mean that we can worship God, whether it is going out and missing out on sermons by helping with kids, church, or youth, whatever it is, you know, whether it's donations of Easter eggs to the food bank, whether it's, you know, helping out with charities, going and sleeping in rugby stadiums to raise money for the homeless, or whether it is mundanely of all our everyday jobs, me going into Bristol 3 days a week and managing change, you know, whatever it is, we will reach far more people if they see us serving Monday to Saturday than if this is the only service we give to God. Because then our service is visible in everything that we do. But to do that, it takes a humility. It takes a conversion to come back to the rule of St. Benedict. It comes back to that conversion of manners. It's how we think about what we do in our everyday life. You know, are we out there, like I said, with the sharp elbows barging through? Or are we putting other people first? God should be in everything that we do, whatever it might be. And that's what we are commanded to do. That's how we're commanded to put that faith and the service that faith demands of us into practice. If you could go to the last slide, James. So I'm going to copy Bill, because I thought it was so good to use a Jesuit prayer at the end. But it's the prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I'd like us to say it again together, because I think what it does is it sums up how it's not through our strength that we can serve. It's going to take God to convert our manners. Our instinct is to get ahead in life. Society demands that we get ahead in life. So if we can say this together and then I'll be done. Within 3 hours. Dearest Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing I am doing your will. Amen.